you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But I'm an athlete. I was an all-everything basketball player. When you come to an athlete and you ask them to play a sport and you ask them to play against a 12-year-old who literally destroyed me. When things like that happen, one or two things happen. Either you no longer become a jock or you start training.
Fanatics. Everyone's got their thing. Fanatics.
Time to serve up another podcast for you guys today. That's a pun, because we're talking about tennis, but I'm not going to get into that just yet. Let me talk about something that I do love that I can get into right now. My co-host, Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hi, David. And I'm very happy. In fact, I love sitting here with you, David Magidoff, my co-host. So thanks for tuning in, guys. And we are definitely talking about tennis today. You can tell by all the puns going back and forth.
Yes, we loved recording this episode. So, guys, Leon is here. And you know Leon, not only from him having essentially one beautiful name made of four letters, but you know him from Oz, Diary of a Single Mom, Cool Runnings, yes, Above the Rim, Get Richard, Die Tryin'. He got nominated for an Emmy as Little Richard, the Temptations movie. He was in the Madonna sex book. Yes, that Madonna sex book. He's a model, very handsome. Please make sure you see the social medias of this episode just so you can fawn over him. He's a singer. That's why he got nominated for an Emmy for Little Richard. He's also in more things like City on the Hill in Showtime and has a new movie coming out this year opposite Bruce Willis called A Day to Die. This man does it all. There is nothing he doesn't do. He runs, he jumps, he sings, he acts, he's good looking, and I feel very insufficient next to him. But I had a lovely conversation with him, with Claire. What a cool guy, huh, Claire?
He is so nice. And I love that, you know, he has found tennis later in his career, sort of. You know what I mean? I don't want to get too much into it. We'll talk about that. But he, you know, it gives him such dynamics as an actor, as an artist. I think anyone, not just Leon, when you have things happening outside of your artistic realm. And he's got a lot happening all over the place.
He's the kind of guy, like I said, he's done all these things, and I just admire people who do lots of different things. Claire, I think you and I are two people who do lots of different things. We are actors. We are podcast hosts. We are entertainers of many degree. I host game shows. It's a very, we do it all. We're people who say yes and have a lot of fun, and I think there are some people who like to stay in one lane, but I love seeing a guy like Leon, and I think he matches our hearts because, you know what? Saying yes to fun things, I know that when I do other things that aren't necessarily quote unquote straight acting, they help me still be a better performer and entertainer. I know this podcast helps me do better on set. Like, it's a fascinating thing. Everything helps each other. And as long as you're entering into fun, which is what I think Leon does with his career and is also what he's doing with tennis. So Everyone, please enjoy. Sampras or Agassi?
Wow, Sampras or Agassi. Definitely, I have to say Sampras because Sampras was Roger Federer's idol.
Oh, it all comes back to Federer. Man, that guy, he's just going to be 55 and keep playing, huh?
Always comes back to Fed, trust me.
So if, for someone who has never played tennis, doesn't know anything about the sport, Leon, how do you quickly describe, you know, tennis?
Well, first of all, I see the entire world like this.
He's holding up his racket and looking right through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my dad used to have tennis rackets. I must admit they were wood. And he used to tell me, son, I want you to learn to play this sport. This is a sport that I think you'd be really good at. And I think it's, you know, it's a gentleman's sport. I'm like, okay, whatever you say, dad. I went around, talked to all my friends, talked to people I didn't even know. Nobody plays tennis. Everyone plays basketball and football.
Now, hold on, Leon, right. For context, where were you? Like, you're saying everyone plays is, what city, what town are you in?
I grew up in New York City. I grew up primarily in Mount Vernon and the Bronx.
Cool. So yeah, no one's playing tennis. They're all just doing street ball and baseball.
Exactly. So no one played tennis. I said, Dad, I like to play, but there's no one to play with. So I'm going to play football and basketball. And he was a basketball player. My dad actually was offered a contract with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, wow.
When he came out of college. So basketball was his thing. And he always wanted me to play basketball, but he also wanted me to play tennis at a very young age. And I wish I had. But then again, I probably would have had two rotator cuff surgeries by now, and that would have been fun either. And then jump to flash forward many years, decades later, I decide that, I want to play tennis. Basically because a friend of mine took me out to meet Dave Marshall, who's actually the coach of the Bryan Brothers. And I met him before he even had his club or anything. And we were just playing tennis. He was a big admirer of Above the Rim, this movie I started. So mm-hmm. He wanted to play basketball with me. I just wanted to play tennis. So, but I'm an athlete. I was an all-everything basketball player. When you come to an athlete and you ask them to play a sport, and you ask them to play against a 12-year-old who literally destroyed me. When things like that happen, one or two things happen. Either you no longer become a jock or you start training.
Mm-hmm. So that was your impetus to start training.
Yeah, I decided I wanted to play tennis. And then being in Jamaica every year at Christmas time with my girlfriend at the time, who was Australian and was going to represent her country in the high jump, but broke her ankle right before the Olympic trials. We're playing tennis with an instructor, and the guys are joking around saying, oh, your girlfriend hits better than you. Look at her. She's way better tennis player than you. Click. The New York City athlete comes on. Next thing you know, I'm calling Dave Marshall, and I'm going down to his tennis academy, and I'm like training with him.
That is amazing. I love that. And when you held the racket up to your face, like just now, and it was this really amazing image of you like looking through the racket and you said, this is my lens. This is how I see the world. It's obviously kind of a joke thing, but it also there's like something more there, you know, when you're so attracted to a sport or an idea or a concept. So what is it about tennis that does affect the way you see the world?
Well, you know, being an athlete my whole life, you know, and then even, you know, competing, I played D1 basketball. I played some pro ball in Europe.
Which college did you play basketball?
Loyola Marymount.
Oh, yeah?
Los Angeles. That's what got me out to L.A. That's how I got discovered on campus by a graduate filmmaker.
LMU. Fun.
Yeah. And so, you know, to be athlete your whole life and then, you know, to after a while not be able to compete anymore or do anything, to find something that grabs your attention the way tennis grabbed my attention, I don't know, made me feel like a kid again. It made me mm-hmm. feel like, wow, I actually, like I'm going someplace to train. At my mm-hmm. age, we're not doing training. I'm not going to be in Wimbledon. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's just the idea of when you're an athlete, things are so much fun for anybody, whether you're an athlete or not, when you're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the challenge of it, Leon? Because you were kind of like, I'm so good at this, I'm so good at that. Maybe it's not a challenge for you anymore, but this felt like a challenge, or not really. It actually felt more just like you said, fun and play, and it's just something new.
No, it definitely is a challenge. Because mm-hmm. when you play a team sport And as you get older, it's hard to find good basketball games where everybody can play. It'd be four guys out of the 10 that can really hoop. Other teams are trying to hurt you. You know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
So when you play tennis now, especially singles, it's just you. That's a challenge. I mean, when you go home and you didn't play well, you can't blame the other guy for not hitting the shot.
And you only need one friend and versus four. And then another five.
Exactly. You know, and so for me, it was just much more grown and sexy. So,
well, I also agree with you. Like, I'm the same way. If I'm good at something, I'm having a lot more fun than if I'm learning or new or like,
no
I like to
what
be.
It is. If you're good at it, it's more fun.
It is more fun. So to get good, you mentioned training. So tell us about your training. How many times a week? How often? How many different rackets? Different rackets for different weather, different rackets for different courts. Tell me all about it, Leon.
Night rackets, day rackets.
You guys have me much more advanced than I am. you know, because of my schedule, you know, between acting and singing with my band and producing, you know, I don't get to play as often as I like. And so many times, you know, I'll go a couple of weeks without playing, you know, but I always have my rackets with me. I'm always looking to play. Mm-hmm. When I can, in a perfect world, I would play tennis, you know, at least three or four times a week. Go to train at a tennis academy at least once a month. And that would be in a perfect world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you know, we're in show business and, you know, there's nothing perfect about it.
It's perfect when you're working. And when you're working, you feel like you always be
even
working.
Even when you're working, it's not perfect. You know that.
Do you take rackets with you when you travel?
Yes, all the time.
Okay.
Matter of fact, my tennis bag is like my luggage now. Like, it has my rackets in there, some gear to wear, and then the other whole section is for other stuff that I need that can't fit my suitcase.
Do you have, like, a spot when you're traveling? You're like, yeah, in L.A., I go here. Okay, and in Moscow, I go here. And in Jamaica, you know, wherever you're going, you know.
Yeah, I do. But lots of times, I you know, because of my coach and the network and meeting other and knowing other pros and stuff, I just call people and say, yo, who do you have over here? Who can hit with me over here? Or where can you get me in over here? And they just... It's usually they know somebody somewhere.
The tennis mafia.
Yeah. And, you know, and then it also helps, you know, being a known actor. Because then, you know, if you call people out of the blue, oh, my friends are so-and-so. Who the hell is your friend?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But people want to play with you. That's such a cool way to, like, make friends across the world.
Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah, that's the one thing I've always loved. One of the upsides about doing what I do is that we can go to towns we've never been in and have friends.
It's really true. So tell me, so you randomly are in this town, you get set up for a tennis match, you and a guy you've never met before.
Or lady.
Do you take it easy for the first set, or do you just go in like gangbusters, let me show them what I got, I'm not going to back off at all? What's your strategy?
Well, it depends. I mean, usually when you go to hit with someone, you're not necessarily playing a match or anything. You just hit it. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, best way to work on your strokes. And so it really depends. You know, you just hit with someone and then you start hitting your best shots and you just see, you know, if you want to play points or if you want to really go at it. Usually it depends who I'm hitting with. If I'm hitting with a pro, the first thing I say to the pro, I says, don't hit it to me. And he knows what that means. Okay. Because yeah. I'm not going to hit it to you. Okay. So let's just go at it and have some fun. You know, and that's just fun. It's just fun. And the better the player, usually I like to play with players that destroy me. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only way you get better.
Like a challenge.
Yeah, exactly. That guy in the first set, you couldn't even return to serve or something. In the next set, you know, you actually win two games.
And then is the post-game conversation kind of just as important as, like, the volleying back and forth? In other words, like analyzing, like, well, when this, like you just said, like, I wasn't able to return the serves or I wasn't able to return the balls. But then all of a sudden, you know, like that conversation between two avid players. Tell me about that part.
Well, what I love about it, it's like the opposite of basketball. So, you know, usually I won't even have to say that I played better the second set. Usually my opponent will say something. Because that's the way the game is. It's like a gentleman's sport. They're like, wow, your backhand really improved that second set. You were really hitting it down the line. And I was like, yeah, but I just can't get your cross court. You really, the way you hit it. Like, it's almost a complimentary game. It's like you compliment the other player. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and it's great. It's absolutely great because you're competing But it's not like, well, you know, in basketball, you know, I've had guys that have hurt me. I've had guys waiting for me outside. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm like, no, I'm not doing any of that. I want to play a game where my opponent hits a great shot and I go like this.
Yeah, that's not very Reggie Miller of you guys.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. I'm past that point. Trust me.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
How often do you play, like on a given week? Like what does that look like for you?
It just depends. It depends on where I'm at. Like last week I was in, you know, LA. So I played five days out of seven.
That's a lot.
Yeah, the weather, you got weather, it's courts everywhere. You know, here in New York, I have to go indoors. So I have to reserve a court or someone has to have a court and, you know.
More of a process in New York, for sure.
Yeah, I just don't get to do it as often during this time of year, unless I'm in a warm weather climate. I was in Costa Rica for the first 2 weeks of the year, and I played, you know, every other day. It was great.
When I practice yoga, that's like kind of my tennis is yoga. I get to practice, you know, 4 or 5 times a week. I am a happier, better, funnier person. Is that how you are with tennis? Does it improve like the quality of your emotional and mental state as well as your physical state?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, and it's also, it's my main cardio. Actually, mm-hmm. You know, I hate riding on a bike. I hate that, man. I hate jogging on a treadmill. No. But I will chase a ball for hours. I sound like a little bit like a dog, don't I?
it's going back to like that. Listen, it's an instinct, you know, an athletic instinct is just, you know, that's the great part, I think, when you're deep into whatever sport you're into or whatever, is you actually get to turn off the intellectual part of your brain and go on instincts. Does that happen to you when you play?
You have to just play on instincts. You know, you have to just, you know, if you're in your head the entire time, I don't care what you're doing, it's not going to work.
And it's fun. Like you said, it's mm-hmm. like childhood again for you. So it totally makes sense. Running around for a ball is pretty much what you do for a kid, you know? So I think it's great that you're getting in touch with that part of yourself.
No, it's, you know, you never really lose it if you're an athlete, but then you start to lose it maybe for the game that you play.
That makes sense.
For example, you know, I'm an avid, you know, watcher of sports and the sports radio and things like that. I do a lot of it. And I'm always saying, stop jumping on these athletes, kids basically, for what they say. Or what they tweeted or whatever. I mean, they're 26 years old. They're 24 years old. Like, what do you expect? They've been playing the same game between the same lines since they've been 6 years old. They just happen to make millions of dollars now. That's not a great recipe for maturity. Okay? So, you know, talk about the way they play. Don't worry about what they say.
All right. Clay, mm-hmm. grass, concrete. What do you say?
Wow, concrete, that's straight up city tennis. That's street, we call it street ball tennis. I prefer hard court.
Yeah.
Because, no, it's a faster sport. It's faster. I've only played on grass a couple of times, and that's weird.
I think it's weird, too. I'm with you.
The ball doesn't come up. The ball is like, it never comes up on grass. You hit it, it just stays down there. You might as well stay in a crouch position the entire time.
You ever been to Wimbledon?
No, I haven't been. I'd love to, yeah.
I was in London, and I remember I asked someone how far Wimbledon was, because I was just too curious. And it's a 45-minute ride on the tube, and I went. And it really, and I'm not a huge tennis person, unlike you, who very much is. And I had a bit of a spiritual moment. So I cannot wait to hear what it's going to be like for when you go, because you're going to flip your shit.
Well, I actually want to go to the Australian Open first.
Ooh.
Yeah, all the players on the tour say that's their favorite tournament. And I can imagine that Wimbledon is a bit strict.
Yeah, it's just so pretty. It's just so.
But a lot of rules, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, but just walking around the area, like you're saying, that's a gentleman's sport, and it really feels very. This is that gentleman mecca feeling of just that British proper kind of, you know, feel. And I think that's
the fans wearing white as well.
I literally just went. I didn't go to Wimbledon when it was active. I just asked, like, where's the town of Wimbledon? I just walked around.
I thought you actually went to the town.
No, that costs money. I just walked around and checked it out. And just, you can go right up to the gate and look inside and walk. I mean, it was just great. So that's just me walking up. I can't imagine actually being there. I remember I've been to a few tennis tournaments over the years. But yeah, it's so engaging. I think hockey and tennis are the best live sports, personally, when you're as a fan.
To me, hockey's only exciting live.
Yeah, I agree. Terrible on TV, yeah. Amazing. Live.
People haven't been to a live hockey game. They don't realize how it is live. It's really exciting, especially if they seat you first row behind the goalie.
Very exciting. Wimbledon and Australia, notwithstanding, have you ever played in a tournament for tennis?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I played in some USTA tournaments. Sure.
Okay, tell me about, like, whether it was in the tournament or whether it was in a totally different scenario, maybe not even a professional game, just out with someone. Tell me about your most amazing tennis moment that you've ever had.
Wow, my most amazing tennis moment.
What shot, what like, were you able to accomplish? What was the thing you did with the racket where you were like, I can't believe that just happened?
Wow. I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't played enough tournaments. I'd have to say maybe having a hitting session with a friend of mine, Dudi Sela, who is the number one tennis player in Israel. And and he asked me to jump in and hit with him. And we hit for a while. And I did really well. We were really going at it for a while. I mean, when someone like that is hitting the ball to you, the way you hit the ball back just changes. All that
Yes, top your spin, game is elevated.
All that top spin, all that pace. And you find yourself playing at another level. You know, very often I'll be at a tennis facility, and, you know, there might be a couple of pros there on the other court. And I can be honest with you, the game that I'm playing and the game that they're playing is two different games. I mean, entirely two different games. But when you can play or hit with someone like that and you feel like you're in that game that you're watching. I was at Sports Time, Johnny Mack's place over here in Randall's Island. And I'm on one court. Mm-hmm. And on the other court next to me is Billie Jean King and two other people. And then Johnny Mack was with his partner, and Kyrgios was on the other side hitting with someone else. So you can only imagine, like, my concentration or lack of thereof.
Right. Did you go talk to Billie Jean?
I actually did. I did talk.
Well, okay, tell me about that. That's like,
well,
good for you.
It wasn't much of anything.
Even if it's a hello, good for
I'm
you.
I'm sure it was a casual.
Yeah, it wasn't much of anything.
Well, you know, Gina Davis made a go at archery in the Olympics. Have you ever thought about, like, okay, let me make a go at tennis? It sounds like you could be good enough with the right amount of additional training, Leon.
See? That's when, if someone thought like that, that's when they do not have respect for the game. Okay. I am at Indian Wells. I am at the U.S. Open. I have player credentials. I watch these guys play. There is no way. Okay. I mean, they are amazing athletes. You know, actually, I equate men, not women, in Grand Slams. Only, and I say this only because they play five setters. They're like modern gladiators. They go into that tunnel with all their bags, everything they have. They can't talk to their coach. Mm-hmm. They can't talk to anyone. And sometimes they don't finish until 5.5 hours later. I mean, that is just, it's crazy to even think about.
Yeah, it is. They can't talk to their coach. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. They go into that tunnel and they have everything in the, every towel, everything, every racket. They, no one to help them. This is what they have to do unless they call for a medic because if they get hurt. And that's it.
That's where like the mind part of the game comes in, right?
Oh, it's
like the mental game.
I mean, it's beyond endurance at that point. It's the way your mind is set. Like you look at Nadal. I mean, how does this guy get stronger in hour four than he was in hour two?
That's crazy. Do you ever watch like old matches to like pump you up?
Well, I watch Roger Federer, of course. You know.
When you're watching tennis, how's that? Are you yelling at the TV? Are there broken rackets? Do you have to watch with people? Do you watch by yourself? Do you watch occasionally? Do you watch all the time? Volume on, volume off, smoothie no?
I'll watch most Grand Slams. I'm not invested in it unless Roger Federer's in it. I just love to watch tennis.
Let's talk about Federer for a second. What is it about Federer that just makes you so fucking happy?
No, I mean, it's just the style of his game. You know, he's like, you know, a Baryshnikov of tennis. You know, he makes it look easy. He makes it look, you know, so skillful. You know, it's like, you know, you can see guys like, I respect, you know, all the players, you know, they're all great. I mean, especially the top three, you know, Djokovic and Nadal and Federer. But especially, you know, watching Nadal's game, for example. I mean, he's grunting. He's hitting every ball like he wants to just beat its ass. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and he's amazing. Amazing. But then you watch Federer and it's like, it's just smooth. It's just a smooth out game. It's just like, I don't know. It's a style thing.
Love it. He's got flavor. I dig it.
Funny enough, I got my kids tennis rackets for Christmas. We don't know anything about tennis. I didn't play growing up, but we've been going out and having fun. What would your advice be to like my kids who want to get into the sport? They really don't know anything. They really don't have like a direction yet. What would you say to them?
Well, first thing I'd say to you is take some lessons, take a couple lessons.
Mm-hmm.
No, because then you'll have fun because you'll be able to do it. And then mm-hmm. you'll also, especially for your kids, they'll know and you'll know right away if they take to it. You'll see. It's like as soon as they know how to hit the ball right and they do it, you'll see and they'll see. They're like, oh, I can do this. I like this. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing because, you know, when you first play tennis, like I was an athlete, you know, so I could get to any ball. I didn't know mm-hmm. what to do with it. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I
right.
One way they couldn't get it by me, but when I got to it, it's like, it didn't go anywhere. I didn't know what to do with it. You know what I'm saying? It was ridiculous. So, I mean, that's what I would say. I would just say, take some lessons and learn like how you're supposed to play, and then you'll know right away if you like it or not. You know, it just, mm-hmm. it's the natural feelings. Like, you know, like so many of my friends take their kids out to play, and they could tell the kid who's going to be out here playing regularly and the mm-hmm. ones that won't because they don't take to it right away.
Are any of the ladies stick out to you? Like Serena?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, Serena's all-time great and, you know, and a lot of the women are just, you know, fantastic players. I mean, I thought the last U.S. Open with the was just amazing. You know, those matches and the girls coming through the qualifiers to win. And I mean,
that British girl who's like 18, boy, she just went.
Yeah, yeah.
She just tore it up. Raduku, I'm forgetting her name.
Yeah, great. And the girl she played.
Yeah, they're both kids.
Layla, she was the darling of the tournament. It was fun, you know. I mean, you know, women's tennis, like women's basketball, it's actually, in a lot of ways, more technically sound to watch the women play because they're playing the game usually the right way. they don't have that over athleticism that allows them to do things, you know, unconventional or not the way he's supposed to do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so you're actually watching mm-hmm. the game played the right way, whether it be basketball or tennis mm-hmm. or anything else, you know? And so, because the speed of the game is not as fast. So, you know what a lot of guys make up with, they make up a lot in power and speed that they don't do technically right.
Yeah.
You know, where women can't get away with that. They have to be technically sound.
What's your favorite part of the game? Serving, volley, returning, that big overhead smash, something else? What makes you happiest at the end of you wiping that sweat off your brow at the end of a day?
Well, getting my first serve in. Mm. I mean, that's usually the key to playing any matches. If you get your first serves in, you don't really have any excuse for losing.
I totally know what you mean, because it's like it sets the tone for like what you're about to do over the next like hour or whatever, you know, getting that first like serve in. Do you ever have a moment where you're like, this is not happening today? I am not able to, you know, get it going.
Of course. You know, once a week.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things we were talking about earlier. It's like, you know, it's a game in which you're playing against yourself so many times. So, you know, it's like it's you. Either you play well or you don't play well. So, you know, it's, mm-hmm. yeah, sometimes, you know, if you were really into it, I can imagine tennis players, you know, that are on the circuit, you know, as many nights, they don't sleep well.
So when someone goes pro, what do you think makes them decide to go single or doubles? Because, like, you're absolutely right. If you're single, you're a gladiator on your own. If you're doubles, you're giving away 50% of the responsibility.
Well, by the time you go pro, even if you're a teenager, you've already gone through the circuit. You've already been playing singles and doubles. You're already number one singles and number one doubles, whatever. So you're going to already know what you prefer to play in and where you think you're going to have success. Many pros, mm-hmm. you know, they go into doing both. They go and playing singles and doubles. And, you know, whatever one pops off mm-hmm. for them, that's what happens, you know. I mean, even the Bryan brothers, you know, who won single players, you know, and then decided to concentrate on doubles.
Mm-hmm. What's your preference for you, for Leon?
For exercise, singles. But doubles are a lot of fun. If you play with good players, it's really fast. And it's a lot of fun, you know. So, yeah. And look, you know, if it's a racket and a ball and everyone's getting the ball over the net, it's fun for me.
Easy.
I love that. I totally agree.
Leon, one of my favorite questions at the end of these podcasts is simply this. Why? I know you said at the beginning, your father, huge influence, all that. If you've never thought about it, I want this to be the moment. Why do you think you love playing this game as much as you do? Do you think it takes you back to saying yes to your father as a possibility? Does it say yes to your childhood inside every day? Like, what do you get out of it, do you think, from a really emotional standpoint as a person?
I think it's one of the things that I do that keeps me young. It's one of the things that I do that allows me to have the same feelings that I've had my whole life, to be able to compete, to be able to want to be good at something. You know, so many of my peers at this point in their lives, they're not trying to become good at anything, you know? And so, you know, for me, it's that challenge that I have. It's that thing that makes me feel, you know, young and like a kid. Yeah.
I love it. Amazing. Well, thanks for making us feel like kids today and going back to our childhoods and thinking about our sports that we were definitely good at, because I was fantastic at all the sports. So that's just hopefully.
Is that a Blockbuster hat?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best sport I did. I could pick a movie out like nothing. Like nothing. New releases, old releases, romance.
Who would ever think that a Blockbuster hat would be like considered anti-clothing?
Yeah. Yeah. Not the CEO of Blockbuster at the time in 1995, that's for sure. Leon, would you be so kind to regale us with a love letter to the beautiful sport of tennis?
Dear tennis, I want to thank you for making me a fan again, making me feel like a kid again, making me, you know, have the enthusiasm that I once had for basketball and football when I was growing up. It's great. It's great to go watch tennis and feel like a kid. It's great to play it and feel like a kid. And then for that, I'm forever grateful. I love you, tennis.
Love, love. I don't know if there's ever a score that ends in love, love, but it would be this one. And it would be good.
Should I pop the question to tennis? You think tennis,
oh.
Yes?
I think it's time. I think it's time, yeah, for sure.
It's time. We've been shacking up all these years. I got to make
her an honest woman.
You got to make tennis an honest
woman. Make it official.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
It does make me want to go out, you know, as I mentioned to Leon, we got the kids' rackets. So it does make me want to go out and play more often. I think he's right. Get a coach, like maybe he'll coach us. Maybe I could just like work that out when he's next in Los Angeles. But
do that.
I think he's kind of given me the motivation to not just give the gift of tennis rackets, but now to follow through with some lessons. You know what I mean?
I think you make a really nice point, Ms. Kramer. I think all of these people who come on our podcast, they really do give us permission, don't they? Like mm-hmm. to just say yes to these things, right? Sometimes you're sitting at home and when we have a guy like Leon on to talk about tennis and we have other people on to talk about what they love, it's this feeling of, okay, well, that's their thing. And then the more you talk about it, I think one of the things that I'm learning as we're however many episodes into the Fanatics podcast echelon is that I feel like a lot of times I'm walking away going like, hey, yeah, I can do that. I can buy vintage t-shirts. Thanks, Daniel Fishel. Okay, yeah, I can, you know, watch a zillion basketball videos and not feel like a bad person. Thanks, James Kyson. you know, and hey, I can play tennis. You know, I think there's something really fun and joyous that just sort of says it's a very yes and podcast. And I think,
well, I mean, the mentality in our country is to work, just always work, keep working. Don't stop working because you need to make money. You need to make money because you need to send your kids here and do this and pay for that and blah, blah, blah. And Fanatics is about the moments in between the work, you know, and finding something that you really connect to as a person and finding that joy it brings you. So if it's tennis or, like you said, various other examples of all the subjects we've had on the show, it does give you permission. And for me, I know the show Fanatics has helped me recognize, like, okay, even if it's just a half hour at night putting down the computer and being like, okay, well, I am gonna, you know, look at my HGTV magazine, or I am gonna take the time to like do today's Wordle or Sudoku, I'll do that because I feel a little bit more permission to have fun, I guess, to do something for me, only me, that is not gonna affect my career. Even though that's the wrong way to look at it, because when you are taking care of yourself, that is bettering your career. But I think you know what I mean.
I would say these are necessary parts of life. These aren't the like fun, weird moments that like if you're lucky or have fortunate amount of time. I think taking time for yourself to enjoy these fun, weird, quirky, personal, obsessive, passionate moments, I think this is what life is about. I don't think these are, well, if you have time, I think it's a reminder of like, this is what you need, this part of life. Just like you need to pay your bill almost as much as you do need to play tennis if you're Leon. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Like, I think it's like, nope, I'm going to be a better, happier person. My soul's going to come alive. And in fact, I know that if I'm going to play 5 games of tennis this week, that is actually somehow, some way, the universe will help me pay my bills or be good to my spouse. Or,
what,
you know,
is your
tennis? I think it all comes together.
What is your tennis? Mine is yoga. I mentioned it during the podcast. Like, that's my, like, direct correlation of what Leon gets from tennis. I get that from yoga. What is your thing, like, athletic thing?
I love to walk. I'm a walker. I love walking. I live in a beautiful neighborhood in Highland Park. My wife and I will just literally go on a walk almost every day of the week if we can. And we just walk. And we just walk together and we talk and we... Look how beautiful the neighborhood is, and it's just nice to get out there. I enjoy a good walk. I think there's books about walking, and that make me feel good about it. I don't have to get the heart pressure up or heart rate up or anything. I like staying slight and svelte as a comedy Jewish boy, and I think it's like, yep, let me just walk. That's
I love
me.
It. I love it. That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please, I want you to share this podcast with one of your good friends who you walk with or you yoga with or you tennis with, who has not discovered Fanatics yet, because we want to bring the smaller joys in life into everyone's earbuds and ear pods.
And you can listen to us while you walk. When you're walking, guys, you don't feel bad about walking, okay? You walk to the beat of your own drum, and we'll see you guys next Thursday for someone else to talk about something they love, because that's how this podcast works. Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, before we let you go, let's talk about next week's episode, shall we? We have on Mr. Ben Giroux. Yes, you know him from a million things. I'll just tell you a few. He's got 4.5 million followers on TikTok, so find him there, as well as Danger Force, Henry Danger. He's the toddler. And he's also Nate in the highly anticipated Nickelodeon animated series Big Nate, which is also on Paramount Plus. He's Nate, guys. And speaking of Paramount Plus and Nickelodeon, that's what we're going to be talking about with him. He has a deep, deep love of 90s Nick. You lived it. You watched it. Now come listen to it. See you next Thursday.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at wearefanatics.
Yes, that's We Are F-A-N-A-D-D-I-C-T-S. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
I can't hack it if I don't have a racket. My name is Leon and I like tennis.
I don't need lots of friends for the fun that never ends. I just need one friend, so much fun. I love tennis.